Podcast, episode 2.6, number 51. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show. We are recording. It's been a month since we last recorded.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Really? It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
It's been like four Sundays.
Mm. Yeah. It's been so long that I thought this was episode 2.5. Let me rename the Google Doc.
That's all right. Well, to be fair, we doubled it up in recording and last time. So we had 2.4, then 2.5. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. Hello. Here we are. Oh, my God. I feel like a lifetime has happened since we've been together. I checked off like three people on my Trump's administration bingo card, one of who was not even on it to begin with.
Here's a good question, though. Do you guys have a free space?
Mm-mm.
And if not after this instance, maybe you should consider having one now.
Yeah, because we've already checked off people now, so you can't. We had a free space in the middle, and it was Comey, because that was what inspired us to do it.
Gotcha.
So,
nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
The fact that there was a free space, and it was already taken. No love for the mooch.
No, I fucking miss that guy so much. He was harmless in the scheme of things, but he provided me hours of entertainment.
I know.
Like, I really do miss that guy. I wish he would come back into the public eye.
Yeah, I'm good.
I feel like people like that, once they get a taste of fame,
I don't know.
He'll be back.
I don't know.
I think he was stealing too much spotlight from Trump. And he was just like, nope, can't have this.
That is a good possibility. And there's also
the crazy one.
There's also conspiracy theories and whatnot, which we won't even get into here because we have so many other things to talk about. And if you want to hear about any of that stuff, you can just go to the news and turn it on 24/7.
Yep.
Yeah, you can listen to the media while they still have the freedom to say those things.
Oh, man.
Just
what a world
kidding.
We're living in. Well,
for now.
Anyways, I have been to a gazillion states and had a million adventures in the last month. Some unplanned, some planned.
Yeah,
you've had quite an adventure.
I have.
You should start like a travel blog.
And I don't have the energy to start a travel
track
blog.
Track your journeys.
I do. It's called this podcast.
Touché.
But what have you guys been up to? Because clearly, I'm going to talk a lot. So, what
I'm trying to think of some highlights. I saw Saturn. Just saying.
Well, that sounds pretty
highlight-like.
Like the planet. Yes. We were at Yosemite for part of our trip, and we were up at Glacier Point towards like nightfall. We went up there for the sunset, and then this ranger dude came out and was like, so I'm gonna give a nighttime talk about the stars. And it was like exactly what you would picture that kind of ranger dude being. It's like he was probably like 60, had like this really smooth, nice, comforting voice, like probably was a total hippie and smoked a lot of weed, you know,
awesome.
Like 20 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever,
or 30 minutes before the presentation.
All the better to talk about the stars.
Yeah. He had kind of a mesmerizing way of talking. And so he gave us a talk about the stars. And then there was this like association that had these big telescopes. And so we got to look at the stars then and see some planets and shit. It was pretty cool.
That's
so
awesome.
So you could really see Saturn. It wasn't one of those like, and see that like slightly reddish planet? That
no,
was
it was
Saturn.
Like you could see
and,
the
like,
rings.
It looked like you could see the ring. Oh, that's
yeah,
really
cool. Yeah, it was
cool.
Nuts.
That is
yeah,
really,
it was really cool.
I would love to do something like that. I was actually recently thinking about how much I miss going to the planetarium.
Mm.
I've never been to the planetarium. I've always wanted to go.
Like any planetarium?
Any planetarium.
Ooh.
That was the best, and then they would make it like thunder and lightning and rain on you and spray water, and like it was super cool. I don't know. I'm in eclipse mode over here, where I've bought my map and my goggles.
Right,
and
you guys are going to be able to see it.
We won't see the whole thing. You have to go to, I think Charleston was in the path, but I'm planning on taking a summer day from work that day, and if not,
nice.
Then I'm going to just tell my boss, peace out. I'll be back in a little while. I got to go find a clear point to see the sun, get to not see the sun.
Well, do you remember? Because what? There was like a partial eclipse or something when we were kids. Because I remember
that too.
We made the little contraptions. You could see it was like a cardboard box with like a piece of like black glass. You could like hold it up and you kind of looked like a cardboard welding mask. Hmm. But like you could use it to watch and it was like this big exciting thing.
I remember that too. Sounds really
familiar. In line to see it. That's really cool.
And I remember being like, that's it?
Because it was like a partial. But we were really excited.
It was. Okay, I see one in, 1945. That is not correct. that would have been 1998 and 95, 94.
94.
That looks like the wrong continent. 91 maybe it looks like it was over America. 89, no, we would have been 5.
Yeah. It was sometime between second grade and fourth grade.
Because so it had to have been.
I specifically remember what elementary school I was at, and I was only there from second grade to
third. Okay. Well, we'll have to get back to.
Or maybe it was something totally different. And
no,
like,
no, no, I remember.
Just lying to us. Come on, kids. Science in action.
No, I totally remember having one too when I was younger. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah. Also, I got to hang out in Stars Hollow.
Oh my God, that's right. You did the studio tour, right?
Can we do like just a breakdown of your trip? Because Shandy, you've been on like such an adventure. Like, seriously. I feel like I just want to hear about the whole, like all of it, like so much of it.
So my second cousins from France came to visit us. They're 18-year-olds. It was like their first trip without their parents kind of thing. Their mom is my husband's cousin. So we're kind of okay. I mean, second cousins, whatever, but we're kind of like uncle aunt relationship.
Right.
Anyway, they're super cool, super fun. So they came to visit us for 3 weeks. We took them to San Francisco, which is really fun. I'm trying to remember what we did in San Francisco. We visited Coit Tower, which is always hilarious because in French it's like coitus. So I'm going to go to the big coitus tower. We like.
Have you had sex in a coitus tower?
Exactly. We got to show them around the city and, you know, did some stuff that like we've already done, but some other stuff that, God, I'm trying to think. I'll have to look through my pictures as I'm saying this. It's been a lot, but.
Yes. Well, you know, I've been enjoying your photo diary. It was really nice to be like, oh man, that, wow. Oh, that's so cool. Like, oh, how beautiful. Look at how big those trees are.
Yes. So yeah, no, we took a catamaran out in the bay. And it goes like under the Golden Gate Bridge, which we had done once before. It's definitely like totally worth redoing. Super fun way to visit the city and the bridge and everything. Let's see. I'm trying to get back to where the trip even started.
You guys got to see the bridge on a really clear day. You got some gorgeous shots.
Yeah.
Like I've been to that lookout point and it was much more cloudy. You guys got a beautiful visibility. I was quite envious. My picture
was nice. Yeah, because it's totally
that picturesque.
Yeah. So let's see. We went to the like Harvey Milk House, which is where the Human Rights Human Rights Commission Committee. I should know that.
Yeah.
Where they have their headquarters now. So that was cool. And like got to, you know, walk around the Castro with them, which like again, like we've done that before, but it's nice. It's like nice to bring someone there and like show them that and stuff. And we visited we went to the Mrs. Doubtfire House.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't even know
that was a thing.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see that when I was in San Francisco because I kind of forgot about it.
It had never occurred to me. Like, I know that movie takes place in San Francisco, but I guess I just always imagined, I don't know, that it was like a set or whatever. But no, it was definitely, it's the house. It's like smaller than you would imagine, but there were people taking pictures of it the whole time. So. Definitely the right house. And there was some graffiti on the like sidewalk graffiti for Robin Williams and stuff. So that was nice.
Did you see the Full House while you were there?
So we saw the Full House, but I'm a little bit confused. And maybe you guys can clarify this for me. We saw the Full House that's definitely for Full House. There's a sign out front that's like to the fans of Full House and Fuller House, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're glad that you came, but please don't loiter or double park or whatever. So it's like definitely the house, but it's not the house that you see in the
inside.
opening.
Oh, right.
No, because and the you know, that shot with the park.
It's different because that's the painted ladies. The painted ladies are the row of houses that you see in front of the park, which apparently, because we ended up seeing that when I was in San Francisco, and we didn't see the actual full house because we couldn't find it. But yeah, no, the painted ladies are different.
Okay. Well, we missed out on that, but and like we were confused because we were like, I don't know. We put it into the GPS. This is where it took us, and it's like obviously the full house, but it's not. But anyway, so that was cool, and we didn't have enough time to go back and see the other one. But what's kind of funny is that then when we were in LA, when we were at Warner Brothers Studio, we saw the facade of the Full House house.
Oh,
so seeing like the real life one.
You can't house circle.
Well,
get
that's
it?
Also that's what they say. Like the Full House house isn't the actual house, that it was what like they based what they actually use in the show on.
Ah, I see. Okay, so.
So it doesn't look exactly the same. Like it looked a little off.
The roof line is different. Yeah.
Because it's not the house that they use in the show. It's what they based the house that they use in the show off of. So
right.
It's
okay,
the inspiration.
I see. And apparently now the like producer or whatever of Full House has bought that house and is going to turn it into B&B.
Oh.
Yeah. Although, but you like, stay you gotta know. Because even like watching the show as a kid, you're like, I don't see how like the set fits in like how the front of the house looks. Like there's no attic in the front of the house.
And then you guys are getting way too technical for a fictional series.
I know, but that's how my brain works. I think this is why I couldn't finish watching Fuller House.
Okay, well then let's move on from Fuller House.
No, but
let's
actually,
not get stalled by Full House.
That kind of is related to everything that we saw in Warner Brothers Studios, because I'm sure, Amanda, like, working in the industry, you're, like, very keen on this, but, like, it was just a real reminder to us about how everything is illusion, and everything is smaller than it seems, and it's just really impressive, because, like, we saw, for example, the place where they filmed that scene in Jurassic Park, where, what's his name, Goldblum, whatever.
Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The conspiracy guy. When he's in the Jeep and the T-Rex is like chasing them and he's like, faster, gotta go faster. Like we saw the place where they filmed that in Warner Brothers Studios and it's fucking tiny. It's like not even a city block.
Are you saying that Hollywood is fake and full of illusions?
No, and it's fine. Well, and obviously, like, I knew that intellectually, but, like, to see all of these different facades that are, like, so small, it was just a good reminder of that. And it makes me really respect the actors even more because, like, it's just impressive, like, to act so convincingly in, when you're supposed to be in, like, a fantastical place, but really you're just in this tiny little room.
Yeah, where you're like, just, like, it's you and a green screen. Like, you look at all the, you know, like, Avatar or, like, any of those really CGI-heavy films, and, like, they're really acting against nothing you know, a stick with a tennis ball on top so they know where to aim their eyes. It's like, that's amazing when you think about what kind of performances these people can pull.
It really is. So that was cool. We saw some other funny, just like, you know, illusion type things where, for example, in Stars Hollow, I mean, it's not just Stars Hollow because that's the other thing. They filmed like tons and tons of stuff there. But the Roy house, like their house, the Gilmore Girls house.
Yeah.
It's that facade on one side. And on the other side of the same structure, it's the facade of Sookie's house.
Oh! Yep.
It's like it's the same building.
Well, a lot of times for that, you can get more scenes done quickly.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So
it's
like, it
makes
sense.
All the scenes
you need in the exterior of Lorelai and Rory's house, then you can break down and quickly reset up and do all the scenes for the day in front of Sookie's house. And, you know, so it's like shows aren't shot in chronological order, which I guess, you know, most people could assume as much.
But you just don't think, you know, you just for like, whatever, like we buy into the illusion, which is exactly what we're supposed to do. So.
Yep. It means everyone's doing their job, including the viewer.
Yeah. So yeah, that was really cool. That was LA. So we did San Francisco, then we did Yosemite, which, unfortunately, there was a fire the first day that we were in Yosemite, so it was, like, really smoky in the park on the first day, which was too bad, so we couldn't really do much on the first day, but then on the second day, the smoke had pretty much cleared, and so we, like, did some hikes and stuff, and some really typical, like, Yosemite stuff, and that was awesome. And then we went to Sequoia and saw the really big trees. And that was awesome as well.
That's amazing. It's like, I've never seen trees that big. Like, even in pictures, it's just amazing.
It's insane. Yeah. I've been to Sequoia a couple of times now, and it's just like, it never gets old. Like, you just can't get over it. It's just crazy. And I just can't even imagine the first people to ever come across those trees. Like,
what they just thought. Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that was fun. And then we went.
They're like hundreds of years old, right? They're like really old. They're like hundreds of years. It's how they get to be so big. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like a little kid. I just get so curious.
I'm trying to remember because, of course, I've like read all the signs and stuff when I was there. But yeah, okay. So some of them are like 3,000 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're super old. Mm-hmm. They're not they're not necessarily always the oldest trees in the world, though. They're just the biggest.
Yeah.
They're just the biggest. Yeah.
So we did Sequoia. Then we went to L.A., did like Warner Brothers in L.A. We went to this relatively new contemporary art museum that was really fucking awesome and also free, which was awesome. Crazy.
Even better.
Yeah, we also went to the LACMA, which was only like $15. So yeah. I was impressed. It was totally reasonable. We did like a tiny, tiny, tiny portion of what you can see at the LACMA because it was so big. And that was one thing where it's like the 18-year-olds were like not really down to like hang out in a museum for 5 hours. And right. Frank and I were like, okay, right. We'll cut it short.
A little shorter.
I have a quick question for both of you, actually. So you bring up how much it costs. Is there a certain etiquette that you guys follow when it comes to having, like, taking guests someplace? Like, do you buy them dinner one of their nights? Or like, oh, hey, this is, you know, $15, so I can spring the extra $30 and buy you guys a ticket? Or do you guys, like, I always wonder that because, I don't know, there's one thing when you're with, like, family that are like, you know, your parents or something, but now that we're getting older and we're kind of more in that position where we're the ones that have to pay for things instead of like the grown-ups, because now we're the grown-ups.
So, I think it depends for this particular trip, I would say it's a little bit different because they're still like, you know, they're in college but they're still like kids. And we have jobs and whatever, although their parents were paying for it. So there was a lot of sharing, like, and we had talked about this in advance and we had planned out what we wanted to do in advance and everyone was aware of the prices. So there's that, but like we did buy them dinner a couple of times just because we wanted to. But I would say for the most part, it actually is usually the other way around, right? If you're staying at somebody's house and they're taking out time to show you around, you should probably be the one to cover some of their costs.
I always wonder that because we not always.
That's what I do when I'm a guest anyway.
When people come to visit us in general, we'll take them to like Linwood Grill, this place across the street from us, and it's all fairly inexpensive food. So we'll, you know, cover their like sandwich and beer. But I don't know because it's weird.
I think they should be covering your sandwich and beer.
Okay. You hear that, everybody? Next time you guys.
I know, but seriously. I think it depends on the relationship. You know, it's like much like you were saying, like family is different, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it also, like if you're close friends with someone, it should kind of go both ways. It's kind of whatever is mutually convenient. Like if you're buying tickets to do something ahead of time
and you happen to live there,
it's like, oh, hey, don't worry about it. Like I got them.
Well, yeah, but then you also think like.
Like a guest then should be like, well, you paid for this. Like I'll cover dinner. Like it should be. But like I
think of travel costs.
Like
too.
I'm that way with like if I'm traveling with friends in general. Like it's just
Well, I take into account like travel cost. Like because I feel like if this person's traveling this far to see me and I'm the odd duck that lives far away from everybody else, I'm just grateful whenever somebody comes to visit. Because otherwise, you know, I don't get to see people really. Because when I go back home, I only generally get to see family unless I'm there for a while. But so I don't know. I have actually been wondering this. This has been on my mind recently. So
I think it's interesting. Yeah. And I think we should pose it to who's ever listening as well. Like what you, it is, especially as we do get older. And I feel like etiquette just in general seems to kind of
like something like ordering pizzas. I have no problem taking like $10 from everybody for getting like chipping in for a pizza. Cause I feel like pizza's pizza, but actually doing something. And I have also no problem if I buy somebody dinner, like the next night they buy the case of beer or something. Like to me, that's totally like, all right, that's we're even. We're good.
Yeah.
Right.
You're probably not going to drink all this beer. You're going to leave it here. So
I don't know. For example, when I go to Montana now, we always end up staying with some friends. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're going all that way to visit them, but they're putting us up. So like we'll always bring them a gift, like, you know, a nice bottle of whiskey or like whatever. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. we always take them out to a nice restaurant because like we could be paying for a hotel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right.
So okay. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we spent the money to fly there, but that was our choice.
Right.
And then right. it's still our vacation. True. They're putting us up. They're saving us a hotel expense. So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'd like to pose this to people because this has come across my mind frequently over this past summer that, like, I'm an adult now, so what does that... what exactly does that mean? Like...
Jeff, right? What exactly does that mean? I think that is the question. I ask myself that like 8 times a day.
Like after the house payment stuff and you know, rent, mortgage, electricity, after that is out of the way, then what does this mean for after keeping the baby alive?
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
No,
it's a good question. I think it was a good question.
Okay. Well, hey, okay. If any of you guys ever come visit me, Linwood's on me the first night. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, sorry, Shandy. So you went to the museum.
Oh, yeah. Lots of museums, also lots of beach time. I almost met Nick, but didn't really end up having enough time. So next time. Yeah, it's, I mean, the thing with LA is obviously everything just takes so much longer than you expect or than you're used to. And when there are multiple people with you and you're trying to do what they want to do, like it just didn't work out. But
hopefully next time. Did you drive or fly?
We drove down.
Okay, cool.
And we were staying in this really great place that was very centrally located and like the people were really cool. It was this great little house. So that was nice. And we, you know, had our car and stuff so we could get around. But, awesome. I was surprised because I've been to LA quite a few times before, but I really feel like this was the first trip where I kind of like got to know it a little bit better as a city and like really liked it a lot more than I thought. I ever thought I did before or would. Like, yeah, it was fun. Like the beaches were fun, which again, like I've been to those beaches before, but I don't know. It was just fun. It was just the right time in my life, I guess.
Cool.
So it was good. Yeah, yay. It was fun.
I also find the older
and then back to work.
The older that I get, the more I understand like song lyrics or TV shows in a way I didn't before. Can I give you a really embarrassing case in point?
Yes.
We were listening to the radio today and Sexy Back came on and I like totally understood that song in a way that I had never understood it before.
Our Facey Back inspiration song?
Yeah. I won't tell you, like, I won't break it down because I have some dignity and pride, but I was like, oh, that's...
Well, now I'm like really intrigued.
Yeah, right.
Off air.
Save that for a bathroom break.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. I sometimes hear things differently now, and I'm like, oh, I get that. I kind of want to go back and rewatch Game of Thrones and see if I kind of watch that differently now too. I'm not even kidding. I feel like there's so much that went over my head when I was busy focusing on trying to figure out who the hell was who.
Oh my god,
yeah. Yeah, like that in and of itself.
Yeah, like now that
big, you know, story points is trying to figure out like who's who.
Exactly. And now that most of them have died and we're just down to a handful of people, I'm like, all right, I can keep everybody straight in seasons 5
more
and 6.
Manageable number.
There's 6 and 7, whatever we're in. Yeah. Now I kinda wanna go back and be like, all right, I gotta figure out. I know the Starks and I kinda know some of the Lannisters. Let's see if I can figure out everybody else.
Yeah. Anyway, so many people.
Life goals.
Yeah. So yeah. Cool. Amanda, did you do anything fun? Birthday things?
I think out of the three of us, I had the most tame summer vacation. Yeah, I can't remember if we recorded again since I had our
Daniel and I's
joint birthday. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. We set up in Prospect Park and some friends came and people brought dogs and we were supposed to have a baby, but baby had allergic reaction, so the baby didn't come. That's part of what I like about getting older is that you don't have to like do this crazy go out to a bar and everyone gets dressed up and yeah. get crazy drunk and you're out till 2 in the morning. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. And that is really fun. But I think there is something also to be said about having just a nice, quiet day in the park.
Day with, buzz, baby. Day drinking.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Day drinking.
You know, we've got all about hard, the day drinking. Hard seltzer, which is like my new favorite thing, the hard seltzer.
Huh. Interesting.
And like a friend for my birthday bought me a Corksicle. Have you guys ever heard of these?
Uh-uh.
They're essentially like a thermos for a bottle of wine. So they fit an entire bottle of wine, and it keeps it really cold.
Holy
and
it's, shit! I gotta look into.
Yeah, like they're really nice, and not terribly heavy. Yeah, but they come in different sizes too. So we have the full wine bottle size, but they've got like a medium and a small that I guess would just be a glass. So like I don't know why you would want that.
But it's like outdoor friendly.
But it's outdoor friendly, so it's like that's we loaded great. Up our cooler bag, and we have that ladder. Toss game, we set that up and people just yeah. came and we hung out for a few hours and everybody was home by like 8-9 o'clock.
That's awesome. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it was really nice. I guess the only other big two more big highlights for me. A group of my Marist friends, we have this yearly thing that we call the Red Fox Reunion Tour, where it's a weekend every year that we plan and we go somewhere sort of in the tri-state area and we just spend time together. It's just because as we get older and people have families and are settling down and moving away, it gets harder and harder to see each other on the regular. So we have this weekend every year and we draw names out of a hat on the Sunday of every year for the next person that's going to plan the next nice. Year's trip. And last year we drew my name, so it was my turn to plan. So we did a weekend away in Mystic, Connecticut, which is really, if you haven't seen Mystic Pizza, it's very like picturesque, scenic, small town Connecticut. But big kudos to Daniel because he found us this amazing rental house in Norwich, Connecticut, which is just like 20 minutes down the road. It's this built in like the 1870s mansion.
Wow.
This place was amazing. Hmm. It had like a tennis court and it had these like giant bedrooms and they remodeled it, I guess, to make it a B&B. But right now they're just renting it out for guests because it was absolutely beautiful.
The pictures looked really cool.
Yeah. Like it was just the decorations. It was like this beautiful classic Victorian home, but like the decor was very like heavy, modern, lots of jewel tones,
yeah.
lots of rich fabrics and prints, so that felt a little weird, but the house itself was lovely and we had a really, really great time. We went to the Mystic Aquarium on the day during the day on Saturday, which was nice. Great. I remember I used to go there several times a summer as a kid, and it was this rinky dink, tiny, kind of crappy aquarium, and over the years it's really grown and it's become like one of the best aquariums on the East Coast. Like they really, awesome. they do a lot of work in conservation. Yeah. And
I remember so going there cool. at some point. Nice.
Yeah. Like it was really cool to see how much more there is of it. But yeah, it was really nice. That's kind of really been the highlight for me. And then, Friday night, Daniel and I went to, there's like a concert series in Prospect Park during the summer. It's called Celebrate Brooklyn. And in August, they do film screenings with live orchestras. So we went to go see live orchestra. Like the director was there and the composer, the film's composer was there. And was
wait,
the
one what movie?
Conducting. Creed.
Oh.
Which I had never seen. I've also never seen a Rocky movie, which is, you know.
I really liked that movie. I saw that one in the theaters, Creed.
Yeah, it was great. I had never seen it, and I kind of worried
Michael B. Jordan. Heart.
Dude, who knew that little Wallace was going to grow up to be such a handsome man?
Did you see there's a video of him getting interviewed at Comic-Con, and it was something like, so how does it feel to be a sex symbol? And he's like, I am? Like, totally shocked. And it's like, duh.
Yeah. yeah, you kind of am. But that was just so cool. And it was really moving. And like, when you have the full live orchestra, like, it just adds this really theatrical component to it. So people were like clapping, you know, in between numbers. So you want to, you know, obviously you're clapping for the musicians. But it was a lovely way to spend an evening.
That's awesome. They have those here in Raleigh once in a while, the the symphony will have like a summer series, and
oh, you should.
They
go.
Did a Harry Potter one, and I assume they were playing it background to the to yeah. the, but it was in July, which was pretty much impossible for us right. to get to. I did see Postmodern Jukebox though last weekend, which they have a YouTube channel and they take all like class like pop songs or popular songs now today, not just like poppy songs, and they just make them. They'll like turn them into jazz style or
oh, cool.
something like yeah. Check out their YouTube channel.
Yeah,
it's pretty
I've
cool.
never heard of them. I will.
You will really like them. I will. Yeah. I can. We have some of the videos favored upstairs just through the years that we've liked. I think that they film in Brooklyn actually. And
oh, sweet.
So that was neat. We were so tired because it was right after Comic-Con that there was a rain delay. Like all they were going and there was the last two numbers and the lightning was like zigzagging behind them in the sky. And as soon as they had to have cut the, maybe they cut the set short or something, but as soon as it was done, they were like, okay, well, rain delay, everybody go inside the convention center, because it was an amphitheater outside of the convention center. You can wait it out in there, you can go to the parking deck, whatever you want to do, but like, you can't stay here because lightning right. is touched down 3 miles away. And we were all like, right. yeah, no shit, we were watching it. So we got into the car for the rain delay, and we were just like, let's just go home. It's 9 o'clock. I'm tired.
Also a major part of adulting.
I know.
Yeah.
Realizing. That's a big.
Let's go home.
Yeah. That's a big grown up step for me. Like to be like, you know, I think I actually will go home instead of usually how I am where I'm like, no, we can do it. One more beer. One more hour. Let's just come on. It's not done yet. There's more adventures to be had. This time I was like, fuck this. I'm tired. But okay. I had Comic-Con and it was super fun. I feel like that happened so long ago that there's not a whole lot to tell. I did meet this cool woman, and her name was Trina Robbins, and she's this older woman who was promoting a book she wrote that was like women in comics, and she had compiled all these comics from the World War II. Sorry, I had to think about which war it was for a second.
Which world it was.
Which world.
We were talking about Game of Thrones earlier. It's okay. Could it be Westeros? We don't know.
I'm tired. But so she was there promoting this book that she had compiled. And I was there with Jay's Aunt Cindy. And she's like, you know, super feminist of the Shandy level. And not that Amanda and I, you know what I mean, though, like the
most awesome
the
kind.
First thing that she went to was like, you know, so I was at the march, and you know, this woman actually flew to D.C. and was at the march, too. She was so they were talking back and forth. And, you know, we decided to get the book and use it, do it for a giveaway for the show, which I'll give more about it later because we're running a little long now. But stay tuned for next week and I will talk a little bit more about the book, because I also Aunt Cindy asked her when I went to go pay for the book if she would be on this show. I read her Wikipedia page, and I'm all in if anybody wants to talk to her. So she's done a lot of shit, like done a lot of stuff for women in comics, and not just comics. So she was intimately involved, this is from her Wikipedia page, intimately involved in the 1960s rock scene where she was close friends with Jim Morrison and the Byrds. Robbins is the first of the three ladies of the canyon in Joni Mitchell's classic song, from the album of the same name. In the late 1960s, she ran an East Village clothing boutique called Broccoli, where she made clothes for Mama Cass, Donovan, David Crosby, and others.
Wow.
She's got all these really awesome stories. She's, let's see, she became increasingly aware in creating outlets for and promoting female comic artists. This was in the 70s. Through projects such as the comics anthology Women's Comics, which she was involved with for 20 years. Women's Comics number one featured Robbins's Sandy Comes Out, the first ever comic strip featuring an out lesbian.
Did you just say Sandy Comes Out? Because that's almost my name.
Episode title, Shandy Comes Out. Most downloads ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, her Wikipedia page and it just reads all sorts of really fun and interesting stuff like this. So if anybody else is interested in having her on for a brief little interview.
Sure.
Cool.
I know. And then, like, putting you guys on the spot. Like, what are you going to say no right now? But
no, it just sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm like, learn a little something. It's like the broadcast education minute.
Broadcast in history. No, wait.
Broadcast in history. Historical.
We'll figure it out.
We'll workshop it.
We'll workshop it. So anyway, so that was really cool. And I have this comic book. It was really awesome. So she seemed like a really fun lady. On the way back from San Diego, I had to travel by myself and I almost missed my plane. And then I had a series of mishaps in which only happen in like movies.
Or to you. You have the worst travel luck of anyone I've ever met.
I do.
It's really uncanny.
I do. So I so first we left from the room late because so it was the day that I left, it was Monday morning, and Jay, Zach, and Jana was staying with us because she stayed with us for the night because she was going back on the train later that afternoon. So Zach was going to stay with Jana in the room, and then, you know, he kind of realized, I think, that, oh, I was actually leaving, so suddenly he wanted to come. So by the time he got his shoes on and got him into the car seat, because we had the car seat, like the rolly car seat, because we didn't have a car there. We were using it for like taxis, and Jack had left his rental car because he was also leaving and didn't need it that day. So by the time we got Zach all set, we run out, and we're already late. We needed to leave at 9:05 or 9 o'clock, and it's like 9:05. We get all the way down to the parking lot, and Jay goes, "Where's your rolly suitcase?" And I'm like, "Fuck!" So I have to go all the way back up to floor 27 to get my rolly suitcase.
Oh my god!
Only to discover that Jana is not in the room, and I'm banging on the door.
Oh no!
And I'm like, "Shit!" There was no toilet paper. Maybe she went to find a maid or something to go find toilet paper. So I run back down and I intercept her in the elevator, and she's not even out of the elevator. I'm like, "Give me the key! I gotta go get my suitcase." So I get the, you know, I write the key and I sprint down and, you know, I get my suitcase and I'm like lugging it back considerably slower because it was, as we'll later discover, 55 pounds, not 50 pounds. So we get downstairs and I go to the parking deck where I left them and they're not there. And I'm trying to call Jay and it's going straight to voicemail. I'm like, fuck, like he could be on any floor in this parking deck right now trying to get out and maybe there's no service or something. So I run back in and then I run back over to try to get reception and I'm like running all over the place and I'm like starting to freak out because at this point it's like 10 after 9 and we had to leave at 9 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, let me find him. So I find him. I run back out, and I finally, like, I get in touch with him. And he's like, I'll pull up to the front. And I was like, okay. So we get to the front. We get everything in. We go to the airport, which is not that far from there. And we hit every fucking traffic light. And I mean every traffic light. The traffic lights in San Diego, if anybody listening has ever been down Harbor Boulevard in San Diego, they're every 100 feet. And I'm like, why don't they just all turn green at the same time? I don't understand why we're staggering the traffic lights here. So by then it's 9, like 20 something, and I have to board at 9:35.
Oh
and
my god.
I'm like, okay, let me just do the curbside check-in. Yeah, I usually just go inside because I feel like in more control when I can like have one eye on the security line and one eye, like, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, let me just do the curbside check-in. It feels like it's taking forever. It probably was just only a few minutes. And then it's like 9:28 or something like that. And I get up there and the guy's like, your suitcase is 55 pounds. That's $75. And I'm like, I was like, I am late, but I am. Oh, hell to the no. I'm not paying $75. This is Southwest. My bag flies free. So Comic-Con gives you bags like every year as a part of like when you check in. So I take my Comic-Con bag and I'm grabbing everything heavy that I can think of because I had gotten a lot of free books. I'm grabbing everything out of that and putting it in this bag. And we get it back on, it's 52 pounds. And I am like, nope, I will keep going. I don't care. So I finally get it down to like 49 pounds. So I'm carrying 6 pounds in this Comic-Con bag. And I go to pick it up and it fucking rips.
Oh no!
Yep.
I was like, no. So at this point, I was like, I'm going to still take it. So I carry it under my arms. The guy must think I'm a crazy person. Because at this point, you know how you get to that point where you start off and you're trying to still have some semblance of like dignity?
And the universe is just not on your side.
Yeah, and then you get to that point of like that breaking point where you're like, I don't care who sees me as a crazy person. They'll tell the story about me to their friends when they go home and then, you know, forget about me. So I'm just like, I'm going to do it. So like, I scoop it up with the backpack and my purse and, you know, I'm like carrying it like, you know, under my arms, like, you know, there's a hole in the bottom of the bag. And I get into security and I'm like freaking out because now it's 9:30 and I board at 9:35 and the line is not short. So I'm like, I'm doing that. You know, when people like really make a fool out of themselves and they're like,
Yep, I've been that person. I get it.
Yeah, so that's
me. Yeah, people have anxiety about standing in lines. Deal.
Exactly, that's me. So I have my shoes off, and I'm taking, like, the computer out and, like, resting it on the broken bag, and the guy in front of me is like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I board in 5 minutes. You know, I'm just trying to get all set and prepared. You know, I got here late. It's my own fault. So the line, you know, line zigzag, right? Security. Right. So we zigzag maybe like one zig and like half a zag, and we get up to the security person who's standing in the middle line. You know, one of the ones that are always like, take your shoes off, throw your water bottles out, blah, blah, blah.
No belts, no.
So the guy goes to, no belts, no shoes.
No belts, take your watches off, all your jewelry.
Yep. Yep. Put it in, no keys, put it in the thing. Cell phones away. Yeah. So he goes to the woman and he goes, hey, is there anything you can do to help her? Her flight is boarding in a few minutes.
Aww.
And she goes, she looks at me and then goes to him, sorry, I'm here for security, not her time management.
Oh.
And says it in the bitchiest tone. And at that point, I am like mortified because even I haven't enough sense to realize like, okay, this is embarrassing. Like, and I was like, I know, ma'am. That's why I didn't ask you. And then I turned to him and said, thank you so much. That was so kind of you. It's nice to know that there's nice people in the world.
Bitch.
So I finally get up to security and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm like a hot mess at this point. Like, I'm sweating and everything's out in my hands. So I hand the guy my boarding pass and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm running late. So I'm a little bit like freaked out here. And he goes, he looks at it. And he goes, you're not Susan.
Like, who the hell is Susan?
I'm like, no, I'm not Susan. I'm Colleen. It says it on my ID. Look. Like, my voice gets high. I'm sure I have my Comic-Con badge in that bag somewhere. Like, I am Colleen. And he shows me, and the boarding passes were for somebody named Susan who was going to Dallas-Fort Worth.
They gave me the wrong boarding pass.
They gave me the wrong boarding pass.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. So maybe I was such a crazy psycho at the curbside check-in that the guy got flustered. Who knows? Maybe he was like, score, I'm going to make an extra $75. And then like, you know, oh, now her crap's all over the front. So she's going to, on the floor, now she's going to hold up the line. So who knows? So I thank God. And this is the moral of this story, is if they ask you, do you want the mobile boarding pass? Even if you want paper, get the mobile boarding pass. Because I had it pulled up in the text messages as a backup just in case and was able to show him the mobile boarding pass. And I was like, I don't want those. I'm not trying to sneak in as somebody else. You can keep them. Like,
straight up, I'm stressed. As you can clearly tell, this was an accident.
Yeah.
Well, somebody else, I mean, they gave them to you. It's not like you.
I know, but I was like worried.
It's a problem with their personnel.
Ugh. Yeah, I know. This was like over.
But like, have time to explain all that.
No, I didn't. Right. You know, like, it was clear. Like, you know, so he's like, okay, here it is. He goes, go to this line. It was a shorter line on the far end. And I said, okay, thank you so much. So I go to that line. And then we have the fucking family, the token family that's always there that doesn't know, that is traveling apparently for the first time and has lived in a bubble since September 11th and has no idea that you're supposed to take your laptops out and not have a water bottle. So the line just stops. And I'm just stopped like two people from the thing and I can't put anything in. So I'm like freaking out. And then my knight in shining armor, this, the guy that had been in front of me that had gone to a longer line that had moved faster was up to the thing. God. He and this other woman who I don't think was with him, I think that she had been behind me or something. They were like, excuse me, ma'am, why don't you go in front of us? Because he was like, my I don't board for another hour. I'm here with plenty of time, so go ahead. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. So I get everything through. Because at this point, you know, all my shit's been out for like 5 minutes in my hands.
Right.
I'm barefoot this whole time. So
soaking up the germs of the airport floor.
Yep. Barefoot in the park. No, barefoot in the airport.
Barefoot in the security line. Yeah.
So I go through and everything is fine. And then maybe 3 seconds after I clear, it beeps. And they go, oh, sorry, you've been selected for a random security check.
No!
And I'm like, look, it says boarding at 9:35. It's 9:38.
It's like, I swear to you, there's nothing.
So they have to test all my electronics, which means including my iPad, which was not taken out because you can keep your iPad in. So... like, I'm like, at this point, I'm like half resigned and like shaking. I'm like, well, you know, I'm A59, but the A's are boarding now. You know, business class is boarding now. Then the rest of the A's. Then the B, you know, then the family boarding, and that takes forever. Then the C's. So I'm like, I think as long as I get there before the boarding doors close, I should be fine. Mm-hmm. It's just me. It's an hour flight. I'll be okay sitting wherever. So I'm like, at this point, I'm just resigned. Like, okay, this is... clearly not my morning. So they go through. It's fine. I get to the line as my line is boarding and run in just in time. And I sit down and I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sweating. And don't worry, I'm carrying like 7 pounds of books here, 6 pounds of heavy books.
Did they fit in the overhead bin?
They did. Thank God. And then when I had my, what's it called? Layover. When I had my layover, I crawled to my gate and just sat there without moving. I was like, I am so tired. So I made it, and then it was without incident the second flight, so that was good. But the moral of the story is get to the airport on time and always make sure you have the mobile boarding pass.
Yeah. No, I always do the mobile boarding pass and like the check-in the night before.
Yeah,
because I'm a nervous.
Well,
flyer.
I had to do the curbside.
Like, I think it's like if one of the things that has happened to you flying ever happened to me, I would never fly again. Like, just one, like I couldn't handle it.
Well, I had to do curbside checking because I had my suitcase, my big suitcase.
But normally, curbside checking is great. Like the last time I flew, I did curbside checking,
and it was
like the best secret, like having, the best secret in flying.
So, I looked at security in there. So I definitely made the right choice. I made the decision for the quicker line. It was just a nightmare. Oh, and then by the time I got back to my car, I burst into tears when I sat down and I was like, I'm so happy to go.
Yeah, I think you earned that cry.
So I thought that was going to be the most exciting thing that happened to me in this break. And then I get a phone call from my mom on Tuesday morning, this past Tuesday, the first. And she's like, Kate's in the hospital. And it's 5:45 in the morning, and I'm not really thinking, and I'm like, oh, great. And she's like, well, her blood pressure is really high, and they're waiting on some tests. And I was like, oh, okay, well, just keep me posted. So it turns out my sister had preeclampsia, and she got upgraded to HELLP syndrome after, and they needed to have an emergency C-section. And she was 35 weeks and 3 days, so she was early. And at that point, I was like, well, Zach is not coming with me because regardless, this baby's going to be in the NICU. And there's no way that he's going to be allowed in the NICU. I've been in the NICU before for visiting other babies. My mom tells me it's 10 to 10. I go online and try to get a ticket. I was like, oh, there's an 11:05. I work very, very close to the airport. So I was like, I could totally make that. I knew it was a chance. So I had a duffel bag with me with, you know, just like sweats and yoga pants. That, like nothing fancy. It was all light. So, you know, I was like, I can totally do that. So I go online and they're like, you're less than 90 minutes before the flight, so you have to call this number. So I called the number and the number's like, oh, sorry, you're less than 90 minutes. So you actually can't get on the phone. You have to go to the airport and have a 45-minute cutoff or something like that. And I was like, I am halfway to my car, sir. I will be at the airport and in line within 10 minutes. So I park. It's like 10:10. I get in line, it's like 10:10, right? And I'm sprinting through the airport at this point because I know that I have to make sure that I have this ticket before. It was 11:05, so that was like, what, 11:20? I had to make sure that I had the ticket before 11:20. So, at least according to what the person on the phone had told me. So I get there, and I was the third person in line, and 10 minutes went by, and we passed that 11:20 mark, and I, again, am a crazy person because the line didn't move. Like, they were taking, like, the preferred elite American customers, and they were just skipping our line completely. And right. I was just like, why don't you just have one person doing that, helping the special people or two people, and let the third person help us? So, and I'm flipping a shit at that point, and I get up to the desk and I tell the woman, I was like, I really have to go. I have a family emergency. I know that it's less than, you know, 45 minutes beforehand, but I got in line, you know, with 55 minutes to go. And she just looks at me and she's like, well, what's the matter? I was like, well, my sister's having a baby, but, you know, she's has preeclampsia, so they need to take it now. And it's really just, you know, everybody's I want to get there for peace of mind. And she goes, and she like snaps her gum and goes, so what? They'll just give her a C-section and she'll be fine. What's your rush? And I was like, I'd like to get
a ticket. Why do you keep getting all these rude flight people? Jesus.
I remember back in May when I was like, oh my God, I had the best United trip. And then for Mother's, or that was what, in the beginning of May, and then Mother's Day, I was like, they gave me a free beer on Southwest. This is great. So I had like great customer service in a row. And then all of a sudden I just kind of,
you're catching people on bad days, I guess.
I must be. But then she gives me the ticket anyway. Even she was like, the 45-minute cutoff is if you have to check luggage or something like that. And I was like, oh, sweet. Thank God. I was like, I got nothing but this back, but my backpack and my duffel bag. So I go through security, and this was the part that pissed me off. I go through, and I have my laptop. Now, you have the end case for it, like the end case, and you're allowed to keep that in. I have flown how many friggin' millions of times, and I have never taken it out of that. So it goes through, and they go, we have to check all your bags now. And I was like, why? He goes, because you didn't take your laptop out. And I was like, yes, I did. It's right here. You're holding my laptop. It's not supposed to be in any cases. You didn't take it out. I was like, I got back from San Diego a week ago, sir.
Right.
Literally 1 week ago, and I didn't take my laptop out. And trust me.
Yeah, like that. They changed the rules. You can do that now. They've adapted the rules that now you can, like, you can take it out, but it can still be in the case. Like, no, that is BS.
I know, and I even told this woman loudly. I was like, I fly regularly. I fly, like, monthly, which is kind of true. Yeah. And I have never taken this out in years. So they had to test everything and go through all my bags. And I'm like, fuck you, buddy. I'm really, because I'm tense as it is, because I don't know what kind of health problems they're going to be after. Clearly, I know that she's under medical care and it's going to be fine. But, you know, you don't know and you're nervous. You just want to get someplace. So
exactly.
Thank God I was flying to LaGuardia. So we didn't board until like 20 minutes after we had to leave anyway.
It's so true.
So true.
It better be worth it when they're done with all the renovation. It better be freaking a palace.
I know. Oh, my God. I get there. It's like 11:45, and they hadn't boarded anybody, and I'm boarding group 9. So I'm like, all right, I'm through, and I got time to pee. Score being in the last boarding group. So, yeah, I get there. I get off the plane. It's like 1 o'clock. I get a lift to the hospital. I get there at 2. And as I'm on the phone, you know, they had heard nothing from anybody, like Caitlin or her husband at the time. And I was I had called my mom just a minute before he came out. So it happened to be on the phone where I got to hear the announcement at the same time. And, you know, so her name is Evangeline Rosemary.
Nice.
Rosemary is my mom's name. And then Evangeline, Caitlin just, she heard a song by the band. I think it's called Evangeline's Last Waltz. And it's like an Emmylou Harris, the band
duet. It's a beautiful song. Yeah, I like that
song
a lot.
Her husband liked the song, and she liked the name from the song Evangeline. So she's been calling her like Eva, Angie, Little Lena. So she was 5'5", which is awesome considering she was 34 and 35 weeks. And I got to hold her, and she's so little. And, like, even, like, Caitlin was like, she's sleeping all the time. Zach was awake his first day. I was like, Zach was 6 weeks older when he was born. Like,
right. He had a little more cooking time.
Yeah. Don't forget, she got evicted today, and she didn't want to leave.
She did. She got evicted.
She did. She was fine. Caitlin's like, that's right. So Caitlin goes over, and it was so funny. She was like, I'm really sorry that mommy malfunctioned, but I promise it's better out here. But anyway, I'm an aunt, and it's exciting. And now I get why people like other people's babies, which I never got before.
Fair.
And she's adorable. And I managed to keep that to within like 15 minutes, which is surprisingly quick for me. Oh, because I didn't tell the story about how fucking awful it was for me to get home. I was supposed to leave I had an 8 o'clock flight from LaGuardia on Wednesday night. And I get there at 7. It was a 7:55 flight. I got there at 7. You know, I was like, oh, plenty of time. And then I go to pull up my mobile boarding pass, and I see that I have an email saying, unable to rebook flight, please call. And I'm like, unable to rebook flight? This email was sent 10 minutes ago. I checked, I didn't have a missed call, I didn't have a text, I didn't have anything from American. So, you know, I asked somebody, and I'm like, I don't like where this is going. Right. Like, I have to go to work. I've taken 2 unplanned days off after taking a week of vacation. Like, I need to go home. I need to be home. I haven't seen Zach in 2 days. Like, I want to go home. I should have realized when I got in that the security line was empty, because my first thought was, oh, great, security is empty. I'm just going to fly right through.
No.
And then there was a huge line for the customer service. And my other thought was, oh, wow, people must be going on vacation. A lot of these people look like they have to check bags. Nope. So I'm there, and I'm trying to get any flight, and there's nothing. There's literally nothing. They can't get me out until like Friday morning. It's Wednesday night. And I was like, no. So I finally was able to get a flight from Philadelphia, and I'm in New York. And I was like, fine, I'll just take that. Because at one point I was going to drive to Washington Reagan to get it. I was willing to let go anywhere because I just wanted to go home at that point. So I had to go to Philadelphia. So I end up taking a lift to my sister Christy's apartment, except she has – nobody can reach her. So she has – because she's in Pier Bar and work and then the subway. She has no idea that I'm there. So I'm like – yeah, she finally gets in touch with her. I'm like, hey, I'm at this place, this bar right across the street from you. I'm eating mozzarella sticks. She's like, what? Surprise!
Right. Well, it's like, because you texted me too. I forget what I was doing that I didn't get your text. Oh, right, right. So, I'm trying to do this new thing where I keep my bag in my purse when I'm someplace.
Yeah, it's
so
smart.
But you miss things like that.
That's
so,
all right.
Sorry I missed you.
Oh, it's okay. I would have gotten in touch with you at some point. If you really needed to, I would have started calling. So I stayed at her place, which was super nice on the Upper East Side. And then I left it. Oh, so I had to leave by 6:05 was like the have to leave the next morning time to get to Penn Station to take an Amtrak to Philadelphia. And I set my timer for my alarm for 5:30. And Christy's like, let me set like an oh shit for 5:55. And I'm like, good idea. Well, Christy's alarm goes off the next morning, and mine doesn't. Thank God. So I get up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to be out in 10 minutes. Well, I made it. I made the subway right as it was pulling up. I made it. Everything was fine. I got to Philadelphia for my 11 o'clock flight and then drove straight to work. And I was like, oh, my God, I just want to brush my teeth because I didn't have any toiletries.
Oh, right.
Because everything is at my parents' house. Anyway, so I made it. It was an adventure getting home, and the end. Now I'm really done. Right, call it a show. No, I'm just kidding.
Wake up. See y'all next week.
Yeah. I am pooped, and that's why we didn't record on Thursday. Was my body just kind of like broke down on Thursday night? Like I was like, I don't feel good. I'm so exhausted. I had been on this adrenaline high for 3 days, and then I just kind of crashed. And I laid down with Zach, and then didn't wake up again pretty much for the rest of the night.
Sounds good.
It happens. We are but mere mortals.
That is true. Anyways, I think I've done enough talking for now. Let's get into some facey back, shall we?
Yeah.
Woo, I'm bringing facey back.
What?
Which I now also understand on a whole totally different level. Anyway, so we start with David, who says, just listen to my first episode of the broadcast. Great time. I laughed a ton. I thank you very much. I must say the ladies drop more F-bombs than the Ramblecast guys do. That we do.
Yeah, that's true.
Even more than the After Dark, well done, ladies. #lower the volume, #close my office door, #please don't call HR.
Yep.
Well, we do what we can.
Not safe for work.
Let's just all throw an F-bomb in right now for David. Just fuck for him. Fuck.
Yep. This podcast is not fucking safe for work.
Fuckity fuck 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 fuck. Sorry, I added a little bit of crunching in there too.
That is quite, so,
you know,
way.
Really, it's all the things. It's all the things that make the broadcast great.
That is true. Yes. That is. So what's our recipe? Part crunch, part martini. As well, it's actually more like part wine and beer because the martinis are special. Definitely part crunch, part F-bomb.
Part crunch.
It's like a teaspoon of the rest, but like a tablespoon of F-bomb.
I'd say maybe a quarter cup F-bomb.
Yeah, stick it in an hour for 3 hours, but really afterwards it's only going to be an hour and 40 minutes of eating. An hour and 40
stick
minutes.
Stick it in for 3 hours.
At 270, but really you'll need to crank it.
Yeah.
Drop it to 250 and put it up for another.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so let's get into the real business here, and that is the fancy panties list.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So I'm not going to read through the list again, but I mean, you can easily download the song. It's in our last two episodes. Da-ba-da-da. All right. So Susan shared that her number was 20, presented without comment. I kind of want to, I mean, you don't have to tell us our number because we want to encourage it. But also, does that open you up to us being able to guess which 20?
That would be a fun game.
Maybe we'll instate that next week. Lori wanted to know.
So you're going to say insert that.
Yeah, only if we have willing participants.
Sorry. Lori said, does oral sex count? I was like, well, you know, have you done a 69? Clearly. And then she said, what about number 9, oral sex in a movie theater? And I think that we can count oral sex as sex. Since we deliberately left out some of the ones that were in the Tidy Whitey list because we wanted to have a bigger variety. Mm-hmm. So I am all for oral sex counting as sex.
Me too. I think there should be an open and inclusive thing. If you consider it, then it is.
So that would mean that number 8 will hereby be known as the Steve Bannon, since you're performing oral sex on yourself.
Oh, no!
I'm real sad that we didn't record that week because I had a million suck your own cock opening in mind.
It was a week, guys.
I know it's crazy when you think my parents went on a cruise. They went on a cruise. It was a 10-day cruise. They literally left the day that man was hired, and they got back the day that Priebus was fired. So, and then then Scaramucci was gone on a Monday. So, like, they pretty much missed everything. And it's really funny because my sister was like, they were like, what did we miss? And she's like, wait until you see the circus that is Scaramucci.
Where do I begin?
I'm telling you, that guy gave us a lot of entertainment. And in the time he was here, he was harmless in the scheme of things. He just was really, really, really great for the blogs.
Just foul. Like, I think it was very clear that, like, this is the type of person that I think, if given his druthers, like, the type of person that Trump probably usually associates with.
I had read something where somebody was like, the id and the ego, which one was which? Anyway, sorry, this has nothing to do with the fancy panties number. Although I would like to know the Mooch's fancy panties number. Why not? I want to know everybody's.
Why not? I don't know if he's fancy enough for the fancy panties list.
He's from Long Island. We have different standards of fancy. He has enough hairspray, okay? That's fancy. That's how we define fancy.
You know, let the hairspray and we'll pop a bottle of Chardonnay. Get real fancy.
Yeah, pretty much. Our other favorite Long Islander, Lori. Yes, we'll count oral sex. So you have to give us your number, though. And then we had an email from Greg with his fancy pantsies number and explanation.
Hello, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I feel like it's been so long since I've heard your lovely voices. It's been only 2 weeks, though, so just need to be patient. Yeah, we'll always be there for you. We come back. It won't take too long of a break. Especially since this allows me to get my feedback in. I wanted to write in and share my fancy panties number. As I shared on Facebook, my number is 13, which isn't the highest, but honestly, it's higher than I thought it would be. Below, I am listing Oh my God. I'm really sorry, guys. My cat is freaking out right now.
Oh, I thought that was Brooklyn.
No, that was Captain Awesome. It was running by, jumps up on the ledge over here. Then all of a sudden just jumps from the ledge to the bed into the closet and then runs back out.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. I really thought that was Brooklyn.
No, that was the cat.
Oh boy.
Okay. So I'll back up. Below, I am listing the specific numbers and adding some context. Maybe too much context at a time. Enjoy.
There is never such thing as too much.
That's context. True.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as oversharing on the internet, as we've debunked. 8. I am pretty decent friends with Jill. 12. I've heard some people aren't.
Wait, so saying... 8?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. We should maybe clarify.
Okay, so 8 is, have you had it alone without any? So, yourself.
Okay. 12. Do we want to read what they are first, and then I'll read the...
12 maybe is in the shower. In a shower.
12 is in the shower. I've heard some people aren't fans of shower sex, but I actually really enjoy it. The warm water helps things get heated and slippery in the best way.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's the women that aren't fans.
Yeah. I think that might be a...
shower sex.
A gender.
Because it's a vagina thing.
Yeah, it's a vagina thing. 14.
While keeping on your socks and shirt.
Anyone who has done a quickie should be able to mark this one off. Sometimes there just isn't time to get anything but the goods out.
True that. Especially when you got kids.
Yep. Oh my God, Captain, calm down.
Or really angry pussy.
Yeah. God. 15.
Fixed with the toy.
In my virgin days, I did experiment with a couple of things. Honestly, none of them really did much for me, though. I think it doesn't do much because I really like kissing, seeing my partner's eyes, and hearing them react to things.
That's so sweet.
That is really sweet and totally legit. 17.
Secretly or with people nearby. Sorry, I got distracted by my chips.
Also totally legit. I won't go into too many details, but the last woman I dated lived with some family members. I would come over at like midnight to cuddle, despite that we both knew what that would lead to. These rendezvous were on the quiet side. Suppose they would have to be. Mm-hmm. 18.
Have you done it in a 69?
I'm a big fan of this. Ha ha ha. 19.
I had sex loud and proud.
Sometimes it's just fun to moan super loud. That's true.
True story.
Yep. Number 20.
Sometimes you just can't help it.
Sometimes you really can't help it.
Or quiet as a mouse with other people in the house.
I guess this related to 17, but on another occasion at a hotel, she kept wanting to rock the bed and it would slam the headboard into the wall. I had to reach back and put my hands in between the headboard and the wall so as not to have anyone come and investigate. Also, how did your hands then not get pinched?
Wait, are you Anonymous 69?
Oh, did we just out Anonymous 69?
I don't. I mean, he did say he loves that number.
Yeah.
True. Well, there. I won't start rumors. Sorry.
Yeah. 21.
Sex on the phone.
I tried this once with a girlfriend, but it didn't really do much for me. Honestly, the only tantalizing part for me was when she was moaning. Otherwise, it was kind of boring. Maybe I should try it with someone else. Number 22.
In someone else's home.
A girl and I were at her friend's place for a weekend, and we did the deed. Enough said.
Nice.
Number 23.
Sex in a chair.
Nothing like kicking back and having some fun.
That's true. You probably do minimal work, huh?
Yeah. That's fair.
Hey, question. Does a couch count?
Sure.
Are we counting couches? Okay.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
It is something where you sit.
Yeah. I don't really have. Well, I have.
I think it would have to be a sitting apparatus in which you can straddle.
Exactly, because that's true. Not everyone, depending on if you live in an apartment, not everyone has like an extra chair. They have, but you probably have a couch. So yeah, I think.
Yes.
I think it's included.
All right.
Wonderful. Number 26.
26, maybe with a one night stand.
Drunk party mistake. Oops. We both knew that we were. What we were doing, but if we hadn't been drinking at that particular party, we probably would have never hooked up. Makes for an interesting story, sort of. Not my proudest moment.
Well, next week we'll hear Greg's interesting story.
Right. I always like an interesting story, sort of.
Uh-huh.
because what's sort of interesting to you is probably much more interesting to everybody else.
Probably.
And last but not least, 27.
When there's nothing left to say.
I had breakup sex at the literal end of my last relationship. We talked things through and decided to call it off and be friends for good. It was sort of an on again, off again for the entire time. We were in her bed and probably not in the best place to cool things down in a relationship in retrospect. And we sat in silence after we'd made our decision. Then we started kissing and ended up having sex for the final time in silence. We cleaned up and I left.
That is literally when there's something else to have to say.
Seriously. You gave that a whole new meaning. Like, you really defined that for the rest of us.
Thank you for that moment. See, I'm a month older than when we discussed this the first time, and I now understand this line in a whole nother level.
Yep. Well, that's it. I may have gone too far in a few places. Oh, well.
This was awesome.
So if anyone else feels comfortable in sharing like that, the gauntlet has been thrown.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes, it has.
That was awesome.
Oh my God. Can we please make this like all the virginity loss stories where just people write in droves?
Yeah.
I was like that. That was super fun.
Okay. Well, if you want to hear this song again, you can go to the episode before this in which I download this and, or you can just read the lyrics are in the show notes of that. They're in the Facebook page and go to jayandjack.com and click on the episode link that's there. You can look up the lyrics are abound, or you can just write us in and I'll copy and paste them and send them back to you. So anyway, let us know. thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, and you get extra special points. I'm talking to you, Jacob, if you write it in for the broadcast players.
Yes, sorry, I was muted. I was chewing. Yes.
Amanda's got a mouthful. Number eight as well.
Crunch.
No, wait, not number eight. Whatever. That's the Bannon is number eight.
The Bannon.
I don't want to associate any of those assholes with any of these.
Yeah, but it's really funny because somebody in our government said to the media on the record.
I'm not here to suck my own dick.
Welcome to America. America 2017.
I can say this because I'm from Long Island, but that's what happens when you let Long Island people
anywhere. Yep. There was an interesting article that I read that was essentially like analyzing why and just observing the fact that sort of everyone in the government right now in like this new brand of GOP is like really interested in everyone else's penises.
It was about how it's all phallic centric.
What? Someone sent me this article. I'd like to
read. I just
want to
say that the broadcast did it first. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll find it a minute and send it to you.
Yeah, please do.
I read that too.
And usually when you're so obsessed with something like that, it means maybe you're kind of lacking.
Yep.
All right.
Not securing your masculinity.
We are going to go to the...
Look at someone else.
So let's finish out this verbal feedback section, and then we'll go into some phone calls. And a Trudeau report. And then we have a couple more things that we're going to save for the next episode. But just to tease everybody, we have a follow-up about the glitter, vag glitter.
I feel like I heard about this vag glitter on like a couple of different sources, like since
it's
Lori wrote
now,
in about
apparently.
It. Yes, and it's just hilarious because... Oh. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But to the surprise of no one, people are like, no, don't put glitter in your vagina. That's kind of the moral of the story.
Yeah, not a great idea.
But stay tuned to see what bus.com says. Yes. And we also have some Handmaid's Tale feedback, too, coming up on the next show as well. Something from Lori and something from Matt. So, and then if you have anything, if you finished watching it, go back and listen to our Mayday Bitches Handmaid's Tale show and let us know what you think. But just to finish this, we'll keep with the sexual trend. And I guess we have an update from Andy. Shandy, do you want to read it?
Shandy will read Andy, yes. So... This month in Andy's virginity.
I thought it said this mouth in Andy's virginity. I just looked at it real quick.
Well, maybe that's the next update.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so Andy writes in, "Hey, Broads. We're now in week 5 of Virgin Watch 2017. Probably don't Google that. It's time to get caught up on all the sex I'm not having. Hopefully this all makes sense as I tried to condense the past month onto a page. For starters, my fancy panties number is 2, basically the bare minimum for someone with a sex drive. Not that I'm going to join a triad or have sex on a roller coaster anytime soon, but I'd like to maybe get to a 3 by the end of the year. However, I know it may take longer than that. It took me a long time to dig myself out of the rut I was in with my depression, so the process of me being comfortable with dating and relationships isn't likely to be an overnight success either. It's been frustrating, but I think I'm slowly figuring it out. I'm still trying to get past my fear of disappointment and getting hurt, since I know that's the risk you take when you start a relationship. In the meantime, I agree I should spend that time trying to better myself. I think we can all agree the world would be a better place if more people spent less time trying to get laid and more time making themselves someone a person would want to sleep with in the first place. I try to keep up on current events. I read and otherwise try to take in things that could make for good conversations. While I lack the hands-on experience, I've also tried to learn more about sex so I can be prepared when it happens. I know I could benefit from doing more physically. Not that I'm going to get the body of a Marvel superhero, but a little more exercise would do me good, not to mention help me for the physicality of sex. And I would also just add for like emotional well-being, like depression, like fucking exercise is good for everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I stuck around with one of the 2 dating sites I signed up for. I dumped both after getting frustrated / overly nervous. Site A practically gave up trying to match me with anyone. I gave Site B a second chance because they offered me a discounted membership after I deactivated. Unfortunately, due to living in a small town, the dating pool is pretty shallow, probably why Site A stopped matching me. The process reminds me a lot of looking for jobs online, having to comb through scams, incompatible matches, and anything I get matched with more than a half-hour drive from my home, and who knows if any of these leads will bear fruit. There have been a few baby steps with interacting a little bit with some women. I tried an icebreaker, not one of the ones the services generated, on one, but the conversation died on the vine. I also got my first like from a woman who I'm pretty sure isn't a spam bot, but I guess it looks like she liked me by accident. Her profile, while not the best way to judge someone, definitely didn't indicate that we had anything in common. She's a vegetarian who was into fitness and wanted someone who makes in a year what I would in 3 to 4.
That doesn't mean she liked you by accident.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be it.
It doesn't have to mean, yeah. I'm trying to work up the nerve to chat with more people on the site, but I'm having a hard time getting past my insecurities with women. I know deep down it's my head getting the best of me, but I struggle with the idea that any woman would be interested in me in a romantic and or sexual way. Signals baffle me, and usually I won't put 2 and 2 together until years after I last saw the person who was probably giving them to me. Hopefully that'll subside once I get a few victories in the adventure. Also, I want to thank Maggie, as well as the 3 of you, for your help with this problem. A lot of the time, I get so stuck inside my head, and my own head, on a lot of things, and it creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's good to know my perception doesn't reflect reality, and while there will likely be some women who won't take the news well, there will certainly be some who will take it empathetically. Hope I can find one of the latter sometime soon. # I'm with hers, Andy.
Oh,
I believe in you, Andy.
I do too, and I think you're well on your way. But I do think the signals thing is not such a bad thing. I feel like we all struggle with signals.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a human thing that people, because I think it's also the person that's giving a signal is really putting themselves out there and are probably feeling uncomfortable. So feel like the signal is more blunt than perhaps it is. So it's not always that you're not picking up on something. It's just that something is not being put out at a high enough frequency. But yeah, I think it's really that self-confidence is really the thing we got to work on.
And that's why I was also, I think self-confidence also helps stifle your signal radar too, your signal detector.
Oh, totally. This is something that I've learned in the past couple of years. Because I think, like, not that I'm looking or anything, but, like, people, you interact with people and they put out an energy. And, like, I've recently learned that, like, I encounter people in my everyday life who are kind of into me, but I, like, would never have realized that before because it wouldn't have occurred to me that those kind, like, those certain kinds of people, like, could be into me, if that makes any sense. Right.
Yeah.
So, I get that. And then, but once you, like, flip that narrative in your mind and sort of realize that it's possible, that it, like, really opens up your eyes.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted, keep us updated, and we are going to do our very best to try to help you get the confidence to get to a 3 on the list, if not beyond.
Yep. We see the challenge, and we're going to do what we can to support you to get there.
Yes.
And in the meantime, I fucking love your updates because they are also, like, just really well-written and really funny. It's like you have a good sense of humor about the situation. So yes. Keep them up.
Also, the subtitle of this episode is Shout Out to Maggie.
Right. Indeed.
Because as we're about to hear, she also gets a shout out.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. She also gets a shout out in our next update, which happens to be a Trudeau report. So I guess let's get to the Canadian section of this show.
Yes.
But before we do that, we also, Shandy has a special delivery to her home, which she is open on air. So,
oh my God, I can't
wait. Yes, I came home from vacation and I had this little.
The pressure's big, on. Actually. Make it interesting.
Do we know who it's
from?
It's from Dennis.
Okay.
Okay. It says, do not open until podcasting. So now we're podcasting.
Woo!
I was like, man, seriously?
All right. She flipped the envelope open to the other side. She has a letter opener. She appears to be opening it.
Slowly. Ooh, very classy with the letter opener.
I know. Look at that, right? Except I'm left-handed and I was doing it with
my hands. No, adult take.
Clearly, I don't use letter openers very often. It's a lot of scotch tape here. Okay. Is everyone ready?
She's opening the envelope, opening, pulling it out, pulling it out, pulling it out.
Okay.
Pull it out. Set it down. Flop.
Okay, this is what it is. So far, we can't tell.
It looks like it's flat.
Yes, it is flat in a plastic little envelope.
Da-da-da.
A picture of some kind, perhaps. Oh, wow! It's a giant Trudeau face.
It's a Trudeau mask.
It is a Trudeau mask. And also a cutout of a Trudeau paper doll.
Oh, that's fun.
With some fun clothing options.
Very fun clothing options from the looks of it.
Yeah, okay, so there's business casual like Trudeau. Costume? There's pirate Trudeau. There's boxing champ Trudeau. And then there's, yeah, some other, like, a winter Trudeau.
I think pirate Trudeau sounds Superman awesome.
Superman underwear Trudeau.
Oh, that's pretty cool, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty into that one.
All right, well, thank you, Dennis.
Yay!
I'm, like, contemplating whether or not I should bring this to my office. So I started a new job on Monday.
That's great.
A new position. Moving on. So I moved into the big-ass office, and I have, like, nothing to put in it. And somebody was joking about some Trudeau paraphernalia. And so
oh, my God. Well, that is a sexy, sexy mask.
It is a good mask. Although, if you do bring it into your office, I would just make sure that, like, people don't work at the office late at night. Because I feel like anytime there's, like, a face somewhere late at night, you turn, it can be really scary.
Yes.
Thanks, you guys. I used our sophomore year, Colleen, the Legolists.
Oh, God, the Legolas was
cardboard
terrifying.
Cutout of Legolas. And, like, you go back in the middle of the night and you would just see this male form in the living room. And it was terrifying.
It actually, you know what? I loved it, but it was terrifying. I'll give you
right.
that.
I always knew what it was, but it surprised me every time.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I'll give you that.
Right.
Anyway, let's get into this Trudeau report or Trudeau rapport.
Hello, ladies. Today we're going to take a look at some of the ways Justin Trudeau has been keeping busy over the summer. But before we begin, let me wish you a belated congratulations on your one-year anniversary. You go, girls! First, a follow-up on our story in March when we talked about the Prime Minister attending the Broadway production of Come From Away, the story of Gander, Newfoundland that saw its population double in size after the local residents sheltered over 6,500 passengers and crew from 38 planes diverted when U.S. airspace was closed following the tragedy of 9/11. The musical was nominated for 7 Tonys and won for Best Direction of a Musical for American stage director Christopher Ashley. On June 13th, Trudeau announced that Canada would host the next Women Deliver Conference, which will be held from June 3rd to the 6th in 2019 in Vancouver. Every 3 years, the Women Deliver Conference brings together world leaders, activists, government officials, parliamentarians, NGO reps, and business people to discuss gender equality and sexual and reproductive health and rights. Quote, "Everyone benefits from a more gender-equal world, but little progress on gender equality can be made without a strong focus on the health and well-being of women and girls, especially their sexual and reproductive health and rights. Organizations like Women Deliver understand this, which is why I'm so proud to announce that Canada will host their next conference in 2019. Unquote. The X-Men have apparently recruited a new member, and he's Canadian. Production is getting underway on the upcoming X-Men Dark Phoenix movie, with longtime producer Simon Kinberg taking over as director. The film is set to shoot in Montreal, but before the cameras started rolling, the cast and crew met up with Justin Trudeau. Returning star James McAvoy shared a photo of the meeting on Instagram, writing, "Just met the dude. Thank you, Canada, for such a progressive, impressive, and somewhat suggestive real-life superhero." In addition to the Prime Minister and McAvoy, the photo includes returning cast and crew members like Kinberg, Cody Smit-McPhee, Nightcrawler, Sophie Turner, Jean Grey, Alexandra Shipp, Storm, and Ty Sheridan, Cyclops. On June 30th, Trudeau and his wife Sophie paid a morning visit to the ceremonial teepee set up by a group of First Nations people on Parliament Hill. Trudeau, wearing jeans and a Canada 150 denim jacket, and Sophie, wrapped in a green blanket in the chilly morning fog, leaned over to greet occupants before entering the structure. The visit had not been announced in advance, and it was not known what was discussed. July 1st was, of course, Canada Day, this year being the 150th anniversary of Canada's independence. Here are a couple of quotes from Trudeau marking the event. "Today we celebrate the 150th anniversary of Confederation. We come together as Canadians to celebrate the achievements of our great country, reflect on our past and present, and look boldly toward our future. As we mark Canada 150, we also recognize that for many, today is not an occasion for celebration. Indigenous people in this country have faced oppression for centuries. As a society, we must acknowledge and apologize for past wrongs and chart a path forward for the next 150 years. Trudeau did make one little gaffe in his speech, and we'll address that in a bit. July 7th brought good news. French President Emmanuel Macron and Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau are still buds. Trudeau met with world leaders at the G20 conference in Hamburg, Germany, and while it's usually the U.S. leader who is the focus of attention, not so much this year. And when they weren't talking official business, the media kept a close eye on the two internet-beloved heads of state. They were spotted enjoying a friendly hug and spending a cocktail gathering catching up together, clearly uninterested in spending time with any of the other power players in the room." On July 13th, Trudeau spoke with former President Jimmy Carter after the 92-year-old became dehydrated and needed medical attention on-site Thursday morning, which was day 4 of the 5-day, 150-home-building blitz across Canada. Carter, who has known the Canadian leader for literally Trudeau's entire life, spoke the next day. Quote, "We met him when he was still a baby in arms. His mother and father brought him down to the White House, and we had a chance to meet him and to admire both his father, who was my great friend later on, and also his mother, who is still working very hard on mental health issues, as you know." On July 14th, Trudeau was invited to give the keynote address to the U.S. National Governors Association gathering in Providence. Quote, "Canada is a confident, creative, resourceful, and resource-rich nation. We are a wealthy and influential country by world standards. But we are also a country of 35 million people living next door to one roughly 10 times our size and the world's only superpower. My father, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, once compared this to sleeping next to an elephant, he told the gathering of U.S. state governors. While you, my American friends, may be an elephant, Canada is no mouse. More like a moose, strong and peaceable, but still massively outweighed. After initially saying his schedule wouldn't permit a visit, Prime Minister Trudeau was in Calgary for the Calgary Stampede on July 15th and made stops at events around the city in a visit met with a mix of love and loathing. Addressing reporters, Trudeau said he has received some gentle ribbing since forgetting to mention Alberta during his Canada Day speech when he listed the provinces and territories during the Ottawa festivities. Oops! And finally, as shared by patron Maggie in the JN Jack Patrons group on Facebook, our favorite national leader checked in with a podcast that is rewatching one of my favorite shows, The West Wing. Justin Trudeau Skyped in to talk with Joshua Molina and Hrishikesh Hirway from The West Wing Weekly Podcast. Can you imagine? The interview came exactly 1 year after the initial request to the Prime Minister's office. The episode discussed is Season 3, Episode 16, Dead Irish Writers, a part of which deals with a regular character whose citizenship comes into question after a decades-old cartography error puts her birthplace in Canada. It's a great interview. Perhaps one day he'll get the urge to Skype into some other podcast. And that's a wrap for today. Hope you all have a great rest of the summer. Goodbye.
Yay!
Thank you so much for that. Listen to that podcast after you finish listening to our podcast. And speaking of Maggie, let's finish up with a call from everybody's favorite bubbly caller. I was going someplace with that, then I lost it. But take it away, Maggie.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie calling in to say hello. Hi. And so I wanted to make a comment from your previous to last show. I'm just listening to the one you just released this past week. It's July 12th, because I want to savor it, because I don't know how much broadcast I'm going to get this summer, because you guys are busy, which is good. But I'll miss you. So, Amanda, you made a comment about running a race and not wanting to come in last. Well, I have run a race that I literally came in last. Years ago, before I was really running, I did a 5K with friends where we walked, and it was tons of fun and so easy. And I was like, oh, that was awesome. That was so easy. I could do a 10K. No problem. And so I signed up for one. And somehow I ended up in the front of the line with all the really serious runners and the fast people. And I was not running at this time at all. And literally everyone passed me. Literally. I ended up finishing only because this woman asked me if I wanted to run with her. I was, you know, about to give up because I ran too much at the beginning and was totally out of it. She's like, do you want to run a minute, walk a minute? I believe her name was Stephanie or Debbie, I can't remember. Her mom told me, and I can't remember now. And I said yes. And then towards the end, she got ahead of me. But literally, the only reason I finished that race is because this woman said, "Let's finish together and let's run a minute, walk a minute." So it can be done. It's not always fun, but it can definitely be done. And it was a good experience to never be in the front. I have run a few more races since then. Including a half marathon, but I know not to start in the front of the race because that is where all the crazy people are. So, I think you should run a race, Amanda. It was a 5K you were talking about. I think you can do it. So, there you go. And it doesn't matter what place you finish in. It just matters that you did it. Yeah. So, there we go. There's my motivational speech for the day. Okay. I will talk to you ladies soon. Bye-bye.
Oh,
awesome.
Maggie, you're such a better person than I am.
That's an awesome story, though.
That was an awesome story.
It's very inspirational.
Yeah.
I do love that. And I do love, especially in race situations, particularly, you know, like the ones that are sort of for charity.
Yeah, for people fun.
Tend to be really, people tend to be really supportive of one another. And it isn't about winning. It's just about doing it. And
exactly.
So thanks for the motivation. Thank you for the good example, Maggie. I will have to take you up. But I went for a run today. So I still don't think I'm 5K ready yet, but when I am, it's nice to know I've got a cheerleader and a motivational coach, because I'm sure I will need it.
There you go. We can all be your motivational coaches. I realized I kind of in the rush, the heat of the moment, because I was like, great transition. I could say, speaking of Maggie, Trudeau report. That was very comprehensive and awesome.
He's had a busy summer.
Seriously. I mean, I thought our summer was busy over here, which technically it has been, but.
Right. But we're also not world leaders. So I suppose we should give him that.
Well, how about we say this? That was a busy, productive summer for a politician. Right. But thank you. I love those Trudeau reports, and I look forward to
it. I do too. And I did listen, because I do listen to the West Wing Weekly, and I listened to that episode. So I guess by the time this comes out, that episode will be like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was enjoyable. It was a really good listen. I think all of them are enjoyable, but I think that one was particularly fun for me, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sticking with us again, coming out and listening, I guess. What was that? That was stupid. Anyway.
It's, okay. It's dinner time. You're hungry. It's fine.
I am hungry. I joined Costco today.
Oh, my gosh. Nice. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Very grown-up thing to do.
I know. There was a Groupon, so I was like, sure. Why not?
I like it. It's like adult, but like you still had the Groupon elements. You're still clinging to being like a young adult. Like, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's
pretty cool. Much. Yeah, so we went and then promptly spent a lot of money there. But we bought a lot of stuff. I bought probably 6 months worth of laundry detergent, because it was
totally
on sale, in addition to like their prices. And I don't know, I bought this quinoa that is the quinoa that my mom makes, except I didn't have to make it, so I figured like that was a win.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, I'm a grown up now, guys. I have a Costco.
No big deal. No big deal.
NBD. NBD. But anyway, thanks, guys, for listening this week. We hope that send in your fancy panty number and anything. I will take feedback of all kind.
Yep. We just want to hear from you.
Yay. That's our favorite part.
Yep.
Anything you got? Questions? It's been a while since we had a good, like, question. Well, I guess it hasn't really been a while show-wise. It's just been a while us-wise.
We're still, we're getting back from the summer vacation swing. We're getting back into it.
We're in vacation mode. What's, like, a vacation mind or something? Vacation mode still.
Vacation brain.
Vacation brain. There we go. We definitely have podcast vacation brain. Anyway, thank you to the patrons. If you would like to become a patron, go to jayandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link. Or you can go to patreon.com/jayandjack. There are plenty of different levels in which you can support us at, and that helps everybody on the network. Just remember to always do the hashtag I'm with hers, regardless of whether or not you're a patron. But the $5 more level gets you into a pretty cool Facebook group. If you are also so inclined and want to shop through the Amazon link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon. You can make that your little Amazon homepage, and then that helps us as well. And then finally, the survey is closed now, but we are going to look through all the results this week and do the drawing for the person that gets the free broadcast merch. So we will be in touch sometime, probably within the next week, I guess. I mean, maybe you already got in touch with you and you're listening to this in the past. So we're in the future. I don't know. Whatever. We've gotten to the point that I'm not good with time. But anyway, thanks, guys. And that's pretty much it. So once again, if you want to send us an email, you can do that at broadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can give us a phone call at 331-276-2373. Does anybody else have anything before we hit the road?
Nope. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Frank actually just came home. I wasn't expecting him home this early, and he scared the shit out of me. So if I like gasped online, that's what that was.
All right. Well, we're going to let everybody get to their respective lives, and we'll see you guys next week. And with that, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out. Ooh, peace out.
Goodbye. Bye.